while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome also to those who are worshiping with us online, a special welcome to you. So today is week three of our sermon series, A Christmas Character. Week one, we heard about Zechariah. Week two, we heard about Mary. And today, we're going to be looking at the example of Joseph. So while I was preparing for this sermon, I remembered a while ago, Tomini asked me a question. Tomini is our six-year-old son. He asked me a question. He said, "Mummy, what happened on the day I was born, and how did you feel?" I remember I gave him a six-year-old version of an answer. So I said something about the weather, that it was warm, it was the summer, what I was doing before I went to the hospital, and of course, the indescribable amount of joy I felt after the hours and hours and hours of labor. And you know, the reason his question came to my mind when I was preparing was because I started imagining how Joseph would have felt, how he would have answered that very question when someone asked him how he felt about having a son. I'm pretty sure he would have had two versions of how he felt, one before the angel appeared to him, and then one after the angel appeared to him. And you know, Tomini's question wasn't really because he was interested in the detail of his birth. He didn't really want to know what happened specifically on the day he was born, about the hospital, how much he weighed, what time, and all of that. What he really wanted to know was about the relationship. He wanted to hear about how his journey in the world started and who was impacted by his existence. But you know, his question was also a chance for me as his mom to show him how wanted, valued, loved, and everything that he was on the day he was born right up until now. We heard last week from Pastor Manuela about Mary's perspective in Luke when the angel appeared to her and how she rejoiced about the news of carrying Jesus. Well, today it's time to hear about Joseph's experience. And the book of Matthew tells us the story of Jesus' birth from Joseph's perspective. Now, I want you all to do something for me today. For the purpose of today's sermon, I want us all to imagine that we are Joseph, right? And this story is not just a story you're hearing, but it's actually happening to you. So let's get into that mindset. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Good morning, Joseph." Turn to the person on the other side of you and say, "Good morning, Joseph." How are you, Joseph? You're looking really nice today, Joseph. Fantastic. Good. Okay, that's a good start. So you are all Joseph this morning. But for us to really become Joseph, we need to understand what he's like. Yeah, we need to understand what he's like as a man. We need to understand his culture, and we need to understand his outlook and his experiences. Okay, so you, Josephs, you're a young man. Don't worry if you're a woman. You're a young man for the purpose of today's sermon. And you embody, yeah, the best part of Jewish traditions. Right, and your tradition, Joseph's tradition, is all about keeping the law. You keep the law as a right way to live with God and to live with other people as well. And this law that you keep is absolutely tried and tested, yeah? It shows your closeness to God and your closeness with other people, your right relationship with other people. Okay, we're going to go a bit deeper now. So for some context again, in Jewish tradition, your parents, yeah, would be the one to choose a wife or a husband for you. And that would happen at a very, very young age. So, for example, Babs and I will get together and decide in advance that my daughter, Barbara, would marry her son, Bobby, yeah, one day in the future. This will happen when they're very, very young. So my Barbara, your Bobby, get together, get married. Now, there are two stages to this marriage. The first one is the betrothal. So it lasts about a year. Barbara and Bobby will go to a synagogue and they would pledge to be married to one another. And that's a formal ceremony. Everything is done formally. Now, they'll be considered husband and wife, but there'll be no physical intimate relations at all. And this pledge was binding. So if Bobby and Barbara decided one day in the future, we don't want to do this anymore, they would have to have a formal ceremony to get divorced. So that's the first stage. The second stage is the formal marriage ceremony, and that will typically happen in the same synagogue about a year later. And Joseph and Mary were at the stage of their marriage, stage one of their marriage. Mary would have been about 13 to 15, as Pastor Manuela mentioned last week. So let's go into the scripture now. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. It will come up on the screen as well. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph, this young carpenter, had gone through the first ceremony with Mary. He's waiting for part two of the marriage so he can scoop his wife up and carry her to his house. And he finds out she's pregnant. What? How? I mean, you're all Joseph. Imagine all the kind of things you start to think. What would you be thinking? How could she do this to me? I thought I knew her. She's a cheat. You know what? It's over. That very person who made Joseph probably the happiest man on earth has stabbed him in the heart. What was he supposed to do now? Joseph weighed up his options. Option one, he could expose her for what she'd done, tell them, it wasn't me, I've got nothing to do with this pregnancy. She'd been unfaithful, she got pregnant, and she'd have to be publicly disgraced. It's not me. That's option one. Option two, he could divorce her quietly, take some time to heal, to recover, maybe have some therapy, talk to some good people, go on a holiday, and just move on. Start with someone else when he's ready. Option three, he could marry her anyway. He could deal with the consequences. It's a baby, a bundle of joy. He could just maybe just roll with it. Now, you're all Josephs, so I know there's probably some spiritual Josephs here in the congregation and would have been like, oh, you know, I have compassion on her. I'm going to marry her anyway. I'm not a spiritual Joseph at all. For me, option two and option three, nah, not a consideration for me. There are two things that are impossible to hide, a cough and a pregnancy. You can't hide it. They can't pretend it's not happening, right? Everybody will know. Mary has made it impossible to keep this private. It's a public thing. So I need to let people know it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Who's that? Shaggy. It wasn't me. Yeah, you know it. Yeah. Well, thank God I am not Joseph, because the story would have ended so differently. Now, by the way, some of you who are saying in your hearts, I would have chosen option three, it's only because you know how the story ends, okay? Because you know you'll be dad to Jesus. That's the only reason you'd say yes. Don't pretend. I know. It's okay. Now, Mary, his wife-to-be, is pregnant, not by him, yet we see in the text that Joseph did not want to disgrace her. He still wanted to cover her shame. He cared. He had compassion. He had compassion for her, even though she seemingly betrayed him. I have a question. When someone wrongs you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? anger? Yeah, that'd be one of them. Do you try your best not to expose them? Think about that. You don't have to answer. It's fine. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to 20 says this: do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is how God wants us to respond when somebody wrongs us. Not to seek vengeance, but to overcome evil with good. So going back to our main text, another version of verse 18 that I read earlier says this: because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But there's another problem here. Because for the very same reason, because Joseph was a righteous man, he couldn't continue the relationship with Mary. She's pregnant with somebody else's child. That would be wrong. He couldn't have an unfaithful woman as a wife or as the mother of his children. That would not be a righteous thing to do as a Jewish, God-fearing man. So even though this was a very emotional situation, Joseph looked at the facts calmly. He weighed his options and decided the best course of action. He was silent, measured. He was considered. He didn't call his mum. He didn't call his best friend. He didn't call his neighbor to ask them what to do. Scripture says he had in mind what he was going to do. When someone hurts or offends you, be like Joseph and respond righteously. You're still Joseph. So turn to the Joseph next to you and say, be a Joseph, respond righteously. Turn to the other person and say, be a Joseph, respond righteously. Fantastic. Okay, verse 20 of our scripture says this: but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I really love this verse because it shows God waited for Joseph to consider his options, choose the right thing to do as a righteous Jewish young man, and then said, okay, Joseph, it's my turn. And God does that for all of us. He gives us the free will to choose, but he shows us his way in the hope that we will trust him enough when his way makes absolutely no sense. So when you're facing a tough decision, think. Plan, weigh your options, but always give God time to speak. Always give God time to speak. John Piper said this: God's providence is not a code to be deciphered, it is a plan to be trusted. And God's providence is his wisdom, his foresight. So God's providence is not a code to be deciphered, it is a plan to be trusted. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 says, in their hearts, human plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So let's look at how God responds to Joseph through the message that the angel delivers. The first thing the angel does is address him as Joseph, son of David. Now, God clearly wanted to be precise on who the message is for. There might be multiple Josephs, we know that already because we see it in scripture, but there's no confusion when the angel mentions his lineage. So can you imagine, for example, you, Joseph, you're telling your friends or your family about this dream. I think the first thing they'll probably say to you is, are you sure you are the Joseph the message is for? Or are you just trying to cover up Mary's unfaithfulness? I think that's what people would say. So I'll give you an example. If an angel shows up, if an angel appears now and says, Emmanuel Ishola, son of Louise and Tunde, there'll be absolutely no doubt. Yeah? It removes the doubt that it is Emmanuel, son of Richard and Pastor Manuela. Correct? More than that, more than removing any confusion about who the message is for, being called the son of David is a messianic title. It's a title of royalty. Joseph comes from the lineage of David, and he is a legitimate son, ancestor of David. Therefore, Joseph must take his place as Jesus' father, so that Jesus would also be in the lineage of David, as was prophesied in Isaiah. So that's the first thing, Jesus, son of David. The second thing is an instruction. The angel says to Joseph, do not be afraid. My response to that is, are you joking? Like, there's so many things to be afraid of. The future, the gossip, the shame, the blame, the fear of what will happen to Mary. Any which way you look at it, it's a scary situation. But the angel tells him, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. But that's exactly why he was afraid. He was afraid to take her home as his wife because she was pregnant and the baby was not conceived as usual. The angel tells Joseph what is forming in her is a direct work of the Holy Spirit and nothing that Mary herself had done. He's confirming that she's innocent. She had not breached the agreement of their betrothal. And you know, because she didn't do anything wrong, the righteous thing to do is not to divorce her. Oh dear. The third thing that happens, the angel gives Joseph a revelation. So Mary will give birth to a son, and Joseph is to give him the name Jesus because he will save people from their sins. So God gave Joseph the responsibility of naming the child. He must take the role of his father by naming Jesus. And by doing so, he legally makes him the son of David and the heir to the throne. So he has a job to do here. By the world standard, this is almost like adding salt to the wound. So my life has been derailed by a son that's imposed on me. And on top of that, I have to give him my name. It's like someone owing you money, and instead of paying you back, they say, oh, I'll take you and 10 other people to Nando's. Give me my money. Don't do that, you know? Okay, so let's recap. After the angel confirms the message is for Joseph, tells him not to be afraid, he says to Joseph, Mary, your wife, is going to have a baby. You'll call him Jesus. He will save the world. That's big. I think this would have been a turning point in Joseph's life. Everything he knows to be true, what his marriage, his future, what everything will look like has been thrown away. His religion, his ethics, everything that shaped his outlook as a Jewish man had to be put in the bin. But God's plan isn't to bring chaos to Joseph's life. It's not to destroy his dreams. God is calling Joseph to be a part of a bigger story. God wants Joseph to be part of his master plan. And God is still doing that today. In the same way, he's calling us out of our comfort zone. He's telling us to get closer to him. He's sending us out to places that are strange and scary. He's telling us to trust him with what you've prayed for years and years and years, and you don't have an answer for yet. He's telling some of us to walk away from that relationship that you've had for years. He's telling some of us to take a leap of faith and start a new business, even though you don't have all the money yet. He's telling us to witness Christ to that friend or colleague. One thing that's stopping us all from doing what God is calling us to do is fear. Joseph felt the fear and did it anyway. You're still Joseph, so turn to the Joseph next to you and say, be like Joseph, trust and obey. Okay, verse 22 says this, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In many ways, when you look at the scripture in Matthew, Joseph kind of appears as a bit of a bystander in this prophecy. He's an overlooked character, if you like, in this incredible story. So this is all happening to him, but he isn't really the main character of this story. It's all about Mary. It's all about Jesus. Let's think about it for a moment. Even think about today, for example. Can anybody here, by show of hands, can you lift your hands if you know a carol or a Christmas song with Joseph in it? No? No. He barely features in any of our carols. I Googled it just to check, right? And it came up with two or three songs, but I'd never heard of it. And I don't know anybody who has. So, and you all haven't heard of any carols. So that proves the point. But let's test my theory anyway. Yeah, just to prove the point. So the first one, very popular one that we sing, is Silent Night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round your virgin mother and child. Holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Where's Joseph? Joseph isn't even there. Let's do another one. Mary, did you know? I love this song, beautiful song. This is the first verse only. It goes on to ask her lots of different questions. Mary, Mary, baby boy, sons and daughters refers to us all, but Mary, Mary, baby boy. I mean, personally, I think that Joseph should have also been asked these questions because he definitely didn't know. And let's do one more. Finally, this one is the Virgin Mary had a baby boy. Virgin Mary, Virgin Mary, Virgin Mary, Jesus. Joseph doesn't feature. And it's easy to look at the story of Jesus' birth and think, you think about Mary and this virgin who had a huge responsibility to carry the Messiah. But Joseph played just as important a part in the story. And so your ministry might be in Sunday school, or cleaning the church on Saturday, or helping out at the food bank, or washing up the teas and coffees after it's done. That may be your ministry, but every seemingly small hidden act of service to God is you playing your part faithfully in God's great plan. What you do is important. Who you are is important. So take your place and don't compare your service to somebody else's. Okay, we go on now to verse 24 and 25, and it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, for Joseph, this can't have been easy. It's one thing when he's sleeping, you know, and the angel appears to him in a dream and tells him about what's to come. That's the easy part. But when he wakes up, he has to face the consequences of his obedience. He has to care for a wife who was carrying a baby he had nothing to do with. He would have to face friends and family who would have either believed she'd been unfaithful or they'd gone against their culture and consummated the marriage before they should have. Eyes would have been on them. The whispers would have been endless. Gossip would have gone far and wide. He had to live through all of that. Obeying God is not always easy. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Obeying God always requires a sacrifice of our comfort, our will, our expectations, sometimes our friendship or our status. Because the best decisions are often the hardest ones. And you know, the angel could have appeared to both Mary and Joseph at the same time to tell them about Jesus. But I believe God's desire was to tell them the part he wanted them to play in his plan, to give them a chance to choose obedience for themselves and by themselves. Our faith in Jesus is not simply something that we talk about. It's a life that demonstrates immediate and ongoing obedience. Faithfulness to God is an act of quiet obedience. It's not about being popular or mainstream or flamboyant or conforming to the patterns of this world. And in many ways, Joseph isn't really different to me and you. Like Joseph, we all have ideas, dreams, desires about our future. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But let me ask you to involve God, invite God to disrupt your plans, because the outcome of that will completely blow your mind. If you're willing to faithfully submit to anything and everything God wants to use you for, you won't recognize yourself. The message from God through the angel to Joseph is exactly the same message as God has been sharing through the entirety of Scripture. Abraham, do not be afraid. When I ask you to leave your home and go to a place, I will show you. Moses, do not be afraid, because I will be with you when you speak to Pharaoh, the king of the Egyptians. David, do not be afraid of any evil, because the Lord is your shepherd. Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Joseph, do not be afraid. You will be the father to the father's son. Deji, do not be afraid. I'm calling you to be the pastor of Pollard's Hill Baptist Church. Amen. PHBC, do not be afraid. I've called you to share the love of Jesus wherever you go. As we get closer to the end of 2023, what is God telling you not to be afraid of? What is he telling you to let go of or to pick up? What is it he's laying in your heart about the new year? Just as he told Joseph, he's saying it to every single one of us today. Do not be afraid. You have Emmanuel, God with us.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.